Hey, this is the Budman, and you're listening to Central Florida Real Estate Radio on News Radio 93.1 WFLA. Now to our studio and your host, local real estate expert, and my friend, Laura Peterson.
Welcome, everybody. With me today is Danielle Pume from Front Gate Realty. Welcome, Danielle.
Hello.
And Chris Urban from Butler Mortgage. Welcome, Chris.
Hello.
At Front Gate Realty, your home sold, guaranteed, or we'll buy it. To discuss the sale of your home, you can call 407-566-2555. Again, that's 407-566-2555. So we've got a lot of great stuff to go over today in regards to things that are happening out there in real estate all along. And we always like to look at what's happening in the market. And what I found is that basically, aging in place is going on across America right now, whereas people are liking where they live and they're not moving, which you would find hard to believe to a certain extent. And that's 1.6 million homes are off the market as a result of that. So people are staying where they're at, not moving to, not downsizing or upsizing or whatever. They're staying exactly where they're at and loving it. And we talk about this a lot of times that people, you know, that you know, they might be the empty nesters for a year or two. And then what happens is that the nest gets full again because the kids might go away for a couple of years and then they come back and come back with more than what they left with. It seems like. But that's something that's going on in real estate right now that is something that just, you know, there's a lot of people out there and that's not a bad thing. It means that we did our job as realtors and got them in the right place to begin with.
Yep.
So they don't have to move and they don't want to move and they just get settled as to where they are. And there's a lot of neighborhoods that are like that. And those are a lot of times the neighborhoods that people want to move into that are very well established, that the neighbors don't change all the time, that there might be a house or two that goes on the market occasionally. But there is not a lot of them because there's not a lot of movement. It's a very solid neighborhood where people have the same neighbors all the time. And if that's happening, that's usually where people definitely want to be because you're going to have that stability there that you actually know your neighbors. Yep. and that you know who they are and what's going on and they're not causing you any trouble and you're not causing them any trouble or anything. So nope. Everybody's living thriving as they should be. And that's the thing that we obviously strive for when we're looking for things. So that's a great thing. One other thing that I found here that I thought was really interesting is that when we're talking about investors, and a lot of times investors are looking at property and thinking that, hey, I'd like to buy it as an Airbnb or something and look at it that way. And from a lender standpoint, I'm sure that they have to do it just like a regular short-term rental. And the interest rates are a little bit higher when you're doing it that way, if an investor is getting money for that. So that's something that you have to be aware of. But the other thing that you have to be aware of is that because Airbnb is relatively new concept in the country, actually, short-term rental is not a new concept in Central Florida. So we are much more regulated and ahead of the game than a lot of other cities. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that you have to look at is that you have to look at is to see if short-term rentals are even allowed. And in Central Florida, there's a lot of neighborhoods where they're not allowed. Mm-hmm. And I've had investors that said, hey, I want to buy this house and I want to do it Airbnb. And I'm always telling them, well, that's great that you want to do that, but we need to do our homework before you do that because there could be some ordinances. They're not exactly ordinances, but homeowners association things. There might be rules and regulations that would prevent you from doing that. And the last thing I want to do is sell you a house here that's what your intention is. And then you're unable to do it and you're upset about it because you can't do that. And everything too. So that's the first thing that happens that you need to make sure that that you're in the right community. The second thing is that there is extra work involved when you have an Airbnb or a short-term rental house because obviously the people that are coming in there aren't going to always clean up after themselves. They're not going to do the sheets. They're not going to leave the house in the shape that it came from. it always has to have cleaning. So that at a minimum is what has to be done. What I found a lot of times is in Central Florida, it's a lot of families that come, and there's not a lot of wear and tear on the house per se, but what there is, the cleaning that definitely is extra work that needs to be done. And you're going to have to deal with when people fly in from out of town and they get their flights delayed and they're getting in at 2 a.m. and they can't figure out how to get into that house, that you're the front desk. And so you're going to have to make sure that you have a company that does that for you or something like that. But if you're just joining us, you're listening to News Radio 93.1 WFLA, the news talk station in Orlando. I'm your host, Laura Peterson, Frontgate Realty. Your home sold, guaranteed, or I'll buy it. This is Central Florida Real Estate Radio with you every Friday at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 8 a.m. Joining me today is Danielle Pume, one of my teammates at Frontgate Realty, and Chris Urban with Butler Mortgage. And remember, if you want to reach any of us, you can call 407-566-2555. Again, 407-566-2555. So we're talking about if you're going to own a short-term rental or an Airbnb, that these are questions and things that you need to know what's going on. And the next one is that how much money you're going to rent it out for on a night or a weekly basis. And you have to be competitive. And there are a lot of properties that are going to compete for your business in Central Florida. So I always tell people that when you're looking to purchase one of these properties, the best way to do it is to look at some of the sites online that give prices for those neighborhoods. So you can look at HomeAway.com, VacationRentalByOwner.com, or Airbnb itself and see what other homes are going for in that neighborhood. Because in the short-term rental communities, there are a lot of homes usually that are available, and the rates do fluctuate just like a hotel would in regards to high season or low season or whatever. So for example, when the Daytona 500 is going on, the rates are usually higher because there's a lot more people that want to stay in those properties because there's less hotel rooms and stuff available. When there's stuff going on around the holidays, they're obviously going to be more crowded. Mm-hmm. And so you're going to get a higher fee. And in Central Florida in the summer when school is out, you're always going to get a higher fee. And so there's just a couple of months that are a little bit lower, like when the kids go back to school in September. And sometimes in January, you usually are going to get a snowbird that's going to be there for a few months. But if you don't, then you're going to have a little bit lower rate in January. So you have to look at that. And they have calendars in a lot of those sites that say for whatever date that this is how much it's going to be. So it's always good to look at that and to know that that's what you can expect. And then I always tell people to be conservative and look at about a 60% occupancy. And you can always have higher, but just count that as gravy. So know what you can count on is probably about a 60%. And that's kind of what the norm is of what a lot of people look at. And then if you get 70 or 80% or even more, then you're going to be happy with that. But you're not always going to have it filled 100% of the time. Mm-hmm. So you can't expect that to happen. And then if you are doing an Airbnb and in... it's can you emotionally detach from the house that you're going to be okay with other people being in your house if you're going to be doing that. And so if they're coming into my house, I want to have it a certain way when they're coming in and certain things that I don't want to have broken or whatever. And so you just have to make sure that you're prepared for that. And so obviously I can't give those I have to take care of it to make sure that that stuff doesn't happen. And then that other thing is that you have to, homeowners, you have to understand your target market. Like in Central Florida, Airbnb, short-term rental all day long, especially more in Osceola and Polk counties and Lake County are probably the more prevalent ones, but you just need to know that. So in order to get in touch with us, call 407-566-2555. Find us online at CentralFloridaRealEstateRadio.com, and we'll see you after the break.
You're listening to Central Florida Real Estate Radio with local expert and my friend Laura Peterson. And now, here's Laura.
Welcome back, everybody. With me today is Danielle Pumet from Front Gate Realty. Welcome back, Danielle.
Hello.
And we also have Chris Urban from Butler Mortgage. Welcome back, Chris.
Hello.
At Front Gate Realty, your home sold, guaranteed, or we'll buy it. To discuss the sale of your home, you can call 407-566-2555. Again, 407-566-2555. So I ran into something that I thought was interesting, and it was, the question was asked, can you sell a quarter of a home without a co-owner permission? So if you own a house with a sibling or a family member or something like that, could you sell your portion and they still own the other portion? So what do you think? Would you be up for that kind of thing?
No.
Well, the fact is that you can do it, but does come there's a lot of things that you need to consider if you're going to do something like that, because it's going to be really tough, in my opinion, to find a buyer, because like you said, Danielle, I would not advise anybody to necessarily do that.
Mm-mm.
Because what comes along with it are the other people that own 3/4 of the house. And so you're not the majority person here, and you don't have the right to necessarily make a lot of the decisions. You don't necessarily know these people. And so how are you going to like all of that stuff?
That might be worse than renting.
Yeah. So it's like, and we find all the time that there's people that are not married or whatever that want to buy houses together, and whatever you want to do, but it's something that you definitely need to consider and look at and figure out if this is a long-term thing and how long-term is it and all of that, because it really is it's a commitment forever as long as you all own the house. And you don't have if you don't own the majority of it, then you can't make the decision, hey, I want to sell it because I want to buy something just for myself or whatever. And so it really is a big deal. And so this probably comes into play more in an inheritance situation where it's siblings that own a property and all of them don't want to sell or all of them don't want to keep it. And so how can you, leverage what you've got out there? And probably one of the things that you could do is that you could leverage the whole property possibly with a mortgage, but it's going to depend on whose name the mortgage goes in and all of those kinds of things, that you could get your money out of it. But you would hit, if you get a mortgage on the property, that's going to affect everybody else, and they might have to sign off on it knowing that you've gotten a mortgage on it and everything now. And that could, if you don't pay the mortgage, then that could put in jeopardy their property and that kind of thing too. So how does that work, Chris?
Yeah. And usually when it's something like that, it's usually a refinance situation.
Yes.
And so sometimes all of them involved, sometimes only one or two is putting their name on the note, which is what they're promising to pay. If the property goes into a default and foreclosure, they're all going to get the notification saying, hey, there's a mortgage on this property and we want to collect on it. And so let's say their names are not on the note at that point, they need to do something to try and save that.
That's going to affect their credit, right?
Well, no. So they're not on the note. So let's say it's, two brothers and a sister. Mm-hmm. And only the one brother put his name on the mortgage.
Yeah.
Only his credit will be affected.
Okay.
However, all three of them will get a notice of less pendants, and eventually, let's say they don't do anything about it, a foreclosure that will be on public record. It will have nothing to do with their credit, the other two, but we'll see on that they more or less didn't let a house go into foreclosure. And so if they want to buy a house in the future with their own credit, that was, again, nothing on a credit will say it, but we're going to see a public record search showing that, oh, hey, you had a property that was foreclosed on. What happened? It gets messy. We have to get a lot of documentation at that point. It doesn't mean you can't still buy a home. It just gets messy.
It gets messy. And so you want to avoid it, obviously.
You want to avoid it, yeah.
Yeah. So if you're just joining us, you're listening to News Radio 93.1 WFLA, the news talk station in Orlando. I'm your host, Laura Peterson, Front Gate Realty. We are home sold, guaranteed, or I'll buy it. This is Central Florida Real Estate Radio with you every Friday at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 8 a.m. Joining me today is Danielle Plume, one of my teammates at Frontgate Realty, and Chris Urban with Butler Mortgage. Remember, if you want to reach any of us, you can call 407-566-2555. Again, that's 407-566-2555. So we were talking about, can you sell part of a home without the co-owner's permission? And you can. It can get messy and all of that. And you want to know exactly, as a buyer, I mean, it would be a weird buyer that would want to go in and do that in the first place.
Yeah.
Because it just doesn't.
I mean, how do you even determine what portion
I'm trying to
of
figure
the
out
house
how
is what? Like, I get the master, or, you know, you get the bathroom, you pay 10%, so you get the bathroom. I mean, you know, it's.
Well, it's a partnership is basically what it is. I mean, it's like you might not be living there, and maybe it's a property that you're going to get rent on or something like that. Yeah. Because it's not like you're probably going to be able to just move in there and live peaceably with everybody unless it's some kind of like a 50-room mansion or something like that, that everybody would have their own space or wing or something like that. But for the most part, it doesn't always make a lot of sense. And it's kind of like I guess
sounds worse than a timeshare.
I know.
Well, they're, you know, it's kind of like a condominium, although that the rules and everything are made up that way so that everybody knows. Everybody has their own unit and everybody owns a part of the common elements. But that's all regulated by all of the states, and you've gone through all the legal process and all that kind of thing. And so it makes a whole different standpoint. I mean, if you maybe somebody would want to do it because it's a property they always wanted to own, and so this is their foot in the door or something. I mean, that there could be go. That could be the case. But anyway, I've run into lately a few, which I'm surprised, a few, because I never saw them before, but I've run into a few foreclosures that were reverse mortgage foreclosures. And
yeah, that's funny that you say that, because a friend of mine reached out to me the other day, and his father took out a reverse mortgage. He recently passed, but I guess they didn't, the mom didn't know that, I guess, he took out a reverse mortgage. And then I know he sent me a message the other day, and it's listed for sale, the house. So they must have obviously taken it back, and then the bank is selling for what, I guess, is owed on the house, right? Is that how that usually works?
Well, they'll sell what they can get for it.
Or whatever they get.
There'll be a distressed sale, you know, but they'll still get
it. But it's not listed as a bank-owned.
Well, so, the ones I saw were listed as a bank-owned, but they had...
Usually by HUD, right?
Well, they were Fannie Mae, so it wasn't by HUD. It wasn't a HUD home, but it did have HUD guidelines that had to be adhered to, which meant that there couldn't be an offer. Well, what I read about it is that the heirs could buy the house at 5% less than what the price that was listed on the MLS was, and and then the buyers had to pay at least what the price was on the MLS or more. You could not put an offer in for less. And you also had to pay all of the traditional seller fees. So you had to pay all of the doc stamps, and you had to pay all of the title insurance and those kinds of things. Every seller expense. So it was like a HUD home in that way, that you had to pay those kinds of things. But it said that on there. So, but my understanding was is that if you got a reverse mortgage, which obviously I could not know, but was that if the heirs had a year to either figure out if they were going to refinance regularly or if they were going to sell the property on their own, you know, before it went back to the bank. So you've got some time when that happens to figure out what you want to do, from my understanding.
Yep, that's absolutely correct. And usually where they get in trouble is if the individual who did the reverse mortgage lived a little bit longer, which is a good thing, obviously, but lived longer than what's expected.
Yeah.
And then they end up upside down on, and that's usually where you find them just walking away from it at that point, because they just can't sell it or do anything about it.
Yeah. The ones that I've seen lately, though, they were priced really aggressively, and they went for over market value. And I thought it was unfortunate that the family didn't know, because they probably could have gotten money out of it. So in order to get in touch with us, call 407-566-2555. Again, that's 407-566-2555, and we'll see you after the break.
You're listening to Central Florida Real Estate Radio with local expert and my friend Laura Peterson. And now, here's Laura.
Welcome back, everybody. With me today is Danielle Pume from Frontgate Realty. Welcome back, Danielle.
Hello.
And we also have Chris Urban from Butler Mortgage. Welcome back, Chris.
Hello.
At Frontgate Realty, your home sold, guaranteed, or we'll buy it. To discuss the sale of your home, you can call 407-566-2555. Again, that's 407-566-2555. So, Chris, what's going on in 2019 with mortgages?
Yeah, so we'll go over some different mortgage trends. The first and usually the most popular topic is rates and what they might do in 2019. First and foremost, nobody has a crystal ball.
Exactly.
You know, we can't determine what's going to happen. You know, things in the world, other countries, economic woes can influence what happens in our rates. What happens in our own country can influence what happens in rates. So just be mindful.
I wish we had a crystal ball.
Yeah, there's no crystal ball.
Oh, my gosh.
I know, right?
So, you know, we mentioned, I think, even last week that, you know, rates typically, right now are looking pretty good, right? And the trend should be, we should be hovering right about 5%. The feds have given us no indication that they plan to increase their rates anymore. Everybody knows, or most people know, that, you know, November, December of 2018 was not good for rates. We saw a big spike because of some fears and whatnot. And then now January, February, so far this year, they're doing great. We've definitely gone back down to the mid fours, high fours. So you're going to see a trend of maybe, hey, this week it's 4.75. Next week they might bounce to 5. They're not going to go anywhere in a big direction unless something just very meaningful happens.
And what's the difference in the amount that somebody has to pay, like when it fluctuates like a quarter of a percent or something like that?
Yeah, you know, depending on like your loan program and then, you know, how much money you're putting down, things like that. But typically, you know, between, let's say, like 5 and 5.25, you know, just for easy numbers here, you know, you're going to see maybe $30 to $60 difference depending on how much you're borrowing.
So yeah, on a couple $100,000 loan.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Yeah. You're not talking large amounts of money here usually.
Right.
You know, unless you're buying like a $400,000 or $500,000 house and, you know, you're borrowing, you know, $400,000.
Right.
You know, that might be a little bit different just because of the sheer volume of your borrowing. But
right.
For the average buyer, you know, most of our buyers are in that 150 to 250, maybe 300 range. Mm-hmm. You're not going to see a major difference in it. So you don't sit around waiting to see if rates continue to drop to go and buy that dream home you want.
Right.
Because again, we don't have that crystal ball to tell us what's going to happen for you.
Right. And what happens is after you found a house, then you lock it in, right? And so it's like you're always looking for the best day to lock it in. But, you know, again, you don't have that crystal ball. And so it's like if you think something's going to go up, then you're going to lock it in as low as you can and kind of go from there, because they do change day to day.
Yes, all the time. And so like most days, very, very minimal movement. But then you might have a day where, let's say, the feds, which they typically at least once a month or so, once a quarter, they come out and say something that might influence where a big movement in a day. But again, there's no way to know. They don't tell us beforehand what they're going to talk about.
Right.
So if you're ready to buy a house and you're, you know, 30 days or less in closing on that, just lock the rate.
Yeah.
So, typically speaking, you're going to get the best rate of in that 30-day time period.
Right.
So.
Okay. And if you lock it in, it's only a smidgen, like a point something. It's not usually that big of a difference. Only a few dollars, right?
No. Matter of fact, I had someone who, you know, when I locked it, rates happened to decrease a little bit, but because of where I locked him at, the rate that I gave him, it would have still been the same. I just the pricing on it, which is something that most people don't really even think or hear about or even know what that is. But on the back end of things, it didn't make a difference. There was no change in the actual rate that he got that influenced what his payment is.
Okay.
So even with changes, a lot of times it still will not change what your rate is.
Yeah. Right.
So. Yeah.
Okay.
And so the next prediction or trend that we should see is, and I don't think this is any surprise, because especially here in the Central Florida area, is that purchases of homes will dominate our market, where we won't see much in refinances. Most people who did need to refinance did, you know, it is people that were in those higher rates. But we're just so short on homes here. You know, obviously, we typically have for years now had a shortage of inventory. And that's why you see nothing but building around us, because they're trying to catch that up. We went through, you know, how many years of no building at all after the recession to now all of a sudden, oh, we have a large amount of people here who need homes.
Yeah.
And so we will continue to dominate the purchase market, which I'm sure everybody here sees.
Yeah, definitely. And the other reason that the purchase market is so strong is because the rental rates are so high.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's going to dominate the purchase market from two angles. One angle, because the investors can get a good bang for their buck when they're buying a property to rent out. And obviously you can buy a property cheaper than you can rent it 9 times mm-hmm. out of 10. And so it just makes sense all the way around.
Yep. I almost always will get that. And after I tell them what their estimated payment is when they're looking to buy a home, they're like, oh my gosh, that's cheaper than my rent, which happens almost all the time.
Yeah.
So, and of course, again, going back to rates a little bit, because rates have continued to be in historically good in lows, you're still going to have a very favorable payment because of those where the rates are at.
Exactly.
So it just continues to enforce the fact that we're going to continue to be in a heavily purchase market.
Right. So if you're just joining us, you're listening to News Radio 93.1 WFLA, the news talk station in Orlando. I'm your host, Laura Peterson, Frontgate Realty. We're your home sold, guaranteed, or I'll buy it. This is Central Florida Real Estate Radio with you every Friday at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 8 a.m. Joining me today is Danielle Pume, one of my teammates at Frontgate Realty, and Chris Urban with Butler Mortgage. Remember, if you want to reach any of us, you can call 407-566-2555. Again, that's 407-566-2555. So what other trends do you see?
So the last trend, and something we can really touch base on, is that mortgage lending guidelines or our standards of what we want from you as a buyer and what we need to meet, what should lax, that they've been relaxing over the past few years. But what's really interesting is what we need from you and what documentation-wise, you probably won't see a lot in regards to, so people might ask, okay, well, will credit score, if I have lower credit scores, will that make it easier for me to buy a home? That might not happen just because we're still a little bit shy from what we went through, back in 2007, 2008. You might not see something like that. But what is getting easier are what we need from you to do the actual loan. So two, 3 years ago, I probably needed a book from you.
You know,
short of taking your blood.
Or your firstborn.
Your firstborn to close on a loan. I mean, it was very, very, the pendulum swung so much from 2005, 2006, where we did like a breath test to see if you were breathing, to where now we're like, we need everything absolutely about you that you've had happen to you in the past like 10 years.
Yes.
Well, that's laxed a little bit. So,
it was a nightmare. It was definitely a nightmare.
It was a lot of times it was intense, and I'd almost like apologize up front because I want to set the standard up front of what you should expect. I'm like, look, I'm going to apologize. We're going to know everything about you, including your shoe size.
Yeah.
And so we'd go through all that. Give an example. You guys probably are used to telling or warning your buyers, hey, you're going to need, 2 years tax returns, 2 years W-2s, so many pay stubs and so many bank statements. You're probably used to that because that's what we've been
standard at the moment.
That's what we've been, trained for so many the past 5 years or so now. So I'll give you a good example. I have an individual who is just a standard, W-2 employee, works for a company. He's been working there for many years. He does file taxes, but he has some other things on his taxes that typically are not what we want to see as a lender. And so deductions or expenses or things that just would hurt his position in normally buying a home. Well, nowadays, if you're a typical W-2 employee and you have a good history with your employer, I don't need to even look at your tax returns. I don't even have to ask for them. The guidelines or the standards today will say just submit his 2 years W-2s and get the verification of employment that we request from your employer, who's going to just more or less confirm the information that's on your W-2, and it's going to break down your income for us, if you have overtime, bonus, commission. And so now I don't have to even ask for tax returns a lot of the times. I can totally just forget that those things even exist. I'm just verifying your W-2s.
That is a big change. That's a big change.
Yeah, because that could influence. So in this guy's particular instance, I would normally not be able to do a loan for him, but now I can because of those changes.
Exactly. So in order to get in touch with us, call 407-566-2555. Find us online at centralfloridarealestateradio.com, and we'll see you after the break.
You're listening to Central Florida Real Estate Radio with local expert and my friend Laura Peterson. And now, here's Laura.
Welcome back, everybody. With me today is Danielle Pumet, one of my teammates at Frontgate Realty. Welcome, Danielle.
Hello.
And we also have Chris Urban from Butler Mortgage. Welcome back, Chris.
Hello.
At Frontgate Realty, your home sold, guaranteed, or will buy it. To discuss the sale of your home, you can call 407-566-2555. Again, that's 407-566-2555. So one of the things that I found interesting is that when it's talking about what the average homeowner is raking in at resale. So a lot of times people think that they can't move because they're going to have to come up with more money and all of that. But I'm happy to say, and I've seen it on quite a few closing statements and everything too, that the in the past year, the average homeowner pocketed $61,000. So if you're looking at that, you're going to sell your home and it's appreciated and you've paid down your mortgage to the point where you're walking away with $61,000, that's obviously a really nice chunk of change to move into a new property that you're going to probably be able to keep a very similar mortgage payment and everything on, but be able to upgrade and not really miss it or anything like that, because your payment's probably going to be very similar with being able to put that amount down. Many times in putting that amount down, you're obviously not going to have the PMI, which is the mortgage insurance that you have that benefits the mortgage, the person who gave you the loan, because they have to insure that. And that's an extra payment that can be a few hundred bucks a month. So that gives you maybe more purchasing power and everything like that. So it's really good that I think everybody knows that out there, that that's what the average amount is $61,000, and it's up $10,000 from the year before. Well, actually a little bit more than that. It says it's $11,000 more than the average was the year before. So that gives you quite a bit. So you can definitely put that 20% down, have your money for closing costs, and probably some money to do a few upgrades and that when you move into the new house. And so it makes sense. And I know you experienced that, Danielle, in the last year in when you moved from one house to another. You were able to pretty much do that because you had a pretty nice gain on that house that you moved into.
A short amount of time, too.
Yeah.
Oh, excellent.
And the thing is that I was talking to somebody earlier this week, and they were talking about that they're going to move every 2 years because you have that tax advantage every 2 years if you stay in your house. For 2 years, you can have that gain and you don't have to pay taxes on that as a married couple to move into a new home. And so they can continue to increase their wealth by moving into a new home without having to pay taxes on that gain, which is obviously a great thing.
Oh, yeah.
So that's an advantage if you're obviously living in the home is one of the criteria to get it. You just don't get it for selling a house that you had invested for over, for over 2 years. But if you're living in that house and then you're moving, and I believe for a single person, it's up to $250,000 that you don't have to take the gain. And for a married, I think it's $500,000.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember with the new tax laws, how much that changed.
Yeah, it might be changed with the new tax laws, but that's what it used to be. But there is an amount that it is, and it's quite substantial. So if you've lived in your house 20 years, then you probably have even more money. And so you don't have to worry about getting the tax on that. And so you can actually trade houses, be paying the same amount of money and live somewhere else that you want to or what that you want to do differently. And it's going to be a win-win all the way around.
Oh, yeah.
So it's something that I think people should at least look at and consider. It's just like we're always talking about, you need to look at your credit report. I think you have to look at the value of your home and what it is and if it's doing for you what you want or if you want to change something and if you were to change it, what that might be and how that would look. And so it's always good to consider that and look at it to figure out what's the best way for you to do it. So if you're just joining us, you're listening to News Radio 93.1 WFLA, the News Talk Station in Orlando. I'm your host, Laura Peterson, Frontgate Realty. We are home sold, guaranteed, or I'll buy it. This is Central Florida Real Estate Radio with you every Friday at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 8 a.m. Joining me today is Danielle Pumet, one of my teammates at Frontgate Realty, and Chris Urban with Butler Mortgage. Remember, if you want to reach any of us, you can call 407 407-566-2555. Again, that's 407-566-2555. So the amount that the average homeowner is raking in, that's just showing that the economy is strong and that the market is moving in the right way. And the thing that I, you know, we talked earlier, there's no crystal ball, but I think that the thing that I'm really excited about is that it is not the kind of increase that we had 10 or 15 years ago, because in 2004 was when the market kind of started going crazy and we were going up 5% a month. And it just, you knew that there was something unstable about it. And I knew there was something unstable about it and something was going to happen there. And you didn't know what, but there was no way that that growth could be sustained, in my opinion. And unfortunately, I was right. And so it caused a big problem in 6, 7, 8, 9, all of that, where the market tumbled back down to where it goes. And you talk about pendulums, the market went too high and then it went way too low. And then it had to come back and end up somewhere in the middle of where it was. And then it's, growth. But the thing that I'm excited about is that the way that it has grown now feels natural and it feels like it is right for this market. And so as a result of that, again, no crystal ball, but I don't feel like we're going to have like this big tumble. I think that there could be like a little correction here and there, just like the interest rates we were talking about, that it goes up and down a little bit, like depending on the time of year, it might change a tad and or what else is going on in the market. But if the interest rates go a lot higher, it might change it a little bit, but then it's going to, you know, but it's on a good path and it's still on a good path to grow. And in 2018, which I know we've talked about before, that Forbes named Orlando as the top city to invest in because they anticipated that over the next 3 years, which would have been 18, 19, and 20, is that the market would grow by 35%. Well, they were right about 18. And so what's going on in 19 is still up for grabs. Obviously, we're seeing growth, maybe not explosive growth, but we're seeing a steady growth. And, you know, we're early in the year, so we don't know where it's going to end up. But the thing is that it, from all indication that they were right in their prediction, and it's going up just a little bit or going up on a smooth path instead of something that's jagged. And so if you're looking at that, you've lived in your house a few years and that maybe you'd want to do something else, that you kind of settled, it was a first time house that you bought and you're looking for, well, this is where I really wanted to be or what I wanted to do, then now might be the time that you can do that because the rates are good, the market's good, you're going to be able to take that equity, not take that equity out necessarily, but in some ways take that equity out, but just replace it with something else and put you in a position that you might even have some cash in the bank that would be, you know, great and would be a good thing for everybody to have cash in the bank. That's always a good thing.
Yep. And if you're worried about like the payment going up because let's say you're moving up, which is usually the case, you're moving up.
I
like to tell people that, you know, if you have a home that you have homestead on, and you're buying another primary, which you'll obviously will put homestead on that one, you can actually transfer what they call portability from the property you had to the new property, which should keep your tax, your tax property taxes in check a little bit to further maybe keep your payment the same, if not just a slight increase.
Well, and that's a really good thing because back in when the market was going up so high, you didn't have that portability at that point in time. And as a result of that, if you sold a house, like say you sold a house at 200 and you were moving a house for 300, well, your taxes went up, you know, by 50% usually because you were buying that bigger house. And it really makes a big difference.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
When you're doing that. So in order to get in touch with us, call 407-566-2555. Find us online at centralfloridarealestateradio.com. And we will talk to you next week. Have a great one, everybody.